Good morning, Saints. How is everyone? Free at last, free at last. Thank God. We're free at last. I want to say something. I was watching the playoffs, the basketball playoffs, and they were at Barclays Center last night. The Nets were playing the Milwaukee Bucks and went into overtime and lost. They had full capacity. Some had masks, some didn't have masks. They must serve a powerful God that they're willing to meet. While many of us still stay away, yell God is in control, but still afraid to take the vaccine. I wonder who is the God that they serve. I was just wondering. That's all, just wondering. Sometimes the devil can make you think that you're doing something that's right, but he uses it to keep you from God. You see, if he can't take you down and out, he'll take you up and out, as long as he keeps you out. So just think about those things. We pray to God to shorten the days. We pray to him to give men a cure. I think it's time we start going out in faith. Can you hear me? Okay. Just one man's opinion. That's all it is. Well, happy Father's Day. And I don't know why somehow it just doesn't feel the same way as Mother's Day. Right? Right, guys? It's not the same. You know, there are flowers and all sorts of things going on Mother's Day. And on Father's Day, well, I did get a pen. I got a pen that writes underwater. Now, before you clap, it writes other words as well, but underwater is a favorite word of mine. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And to the fathers and mothers and parents, the book of Proverbs, the book that you must read if you're going to get your family right, your finances right, your friends right. A book with wisdom from above. And I'd like to call this not just teaching it, but living it. Proverbs chapter 4, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into your most perfect word, we ask, O God, at this time that your Holy Spirit will take us into all truth and reveal that truth to us. Therefore, we need to hear from you. Enable your servant to be an oracle of your word, so that in all things you may get the preeminence. Saints will be edified, and those who don't know you will be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. And as we would read your word, we ask, O God, please strengthen us that we become doers of your word. And in the name of your exalted Son, our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Solomon, a man who asked for wisdom from God. He was not a perfect man, but he was a man who had a desire to obey God. And he starts off in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'd like to look at verses 10 through 13. He says in the New King James Version, "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life." And as we look at the other verses after this, Solomon starts giving instructions to his son, to his offspring, in areas where we would well do to pay attention. But what I want us to look at today, or right now, is not what he has to say to his children, but what he says about himself. There are at least three non-negotiable things that must be part of a father's life if he is going to be a godly influence on his children. First, we have not only to talk about faith, we must live out our faith. Years ago, there was a saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." And that's the most idiotic thing I ever heard, along with Charles Barkley saying a number of years back, "He's not a role model." Every man is a role model. Every father is a role model. And here he says, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths." Don't miss that. He not only instructs them by saying, "I've instructed you," but here's what he says. He says, "I have led you." In other words, I'm not just telling you how to live, I'm going to show you how to live. I'll lead you, I'll follow you. Do you know that you teach children how to live more by what you say than what you do? You see, if what you say and what you do match up together, then they're going to learn. Now, there's free will, but what we don't understand is what the Bible wants us to do is live in such a way that we influence and impact their free will. I remember growing up, I wanted to learn to play the trumpet. And my father said no, because he must have seen something in me. He says, "If you learn to play the trumpet, you're going to end up in nightclubs." Now, many years later, we're sitting around talking as a family. And I said, "Dad, you remember what you told me about the trumpet and nightclubs?" "Well, I ended up there anyway." And he looked at me, he said, "Archie, my job was not to stop you from going there. My job was to influence you and impact you in such a way that if you went there, you would still remember what I said. So maybe your time there won't be as long. And I never forgot that. You see, if I told my children not to gossip, not to lie, don't smoke, and don't cheat, but then they see me doing it, guess what? They view that as permission to do the same thing. And that's what many times we don't understand. Bringing them here, that's nice. But what are they seeing at home? What are they seeing when you don't think they're seeing? The godly influence of parents is critical. And not just as fathers, because wives, mothers, you are helpmates. And many times, unfortunately, because we live in a world of sin, you have to be more than a helpmeet, you've got to pick up the slack. But I want every man to know God has called you to lead. And he expects you to lead. And if you're a born-again believer, he insists that you lead. Remember, my father had no father growing up. His mother died a little after giving birth to him. His father died when he was about 8 years old. He was raised by a foster mother. And when people would talk to him and he would tell them about his children and what they're doing, they said, how? He said, when I got married and we started having children, he says, I knew nothing about life. He said, but I had the book. He says, and when I opened the book, I never, ever closed the book. He would wake us up at 4 a.m. to read the word of God. But you know what I would tell people? It wasn't the reading of the word of God that got me. It was that from the time I was born till the day my father died, I never heard him curse. Never heard him curse, use a euphemism for a word. That struck me. And so when I would get off and do stuff, things like that would come back and haunt me. Why? There was an example. He says, I will lead you in the right path. God said of Abraham, he says, I'm not going to hide anything from right, because I know he will lead, not teach, he will lead his family in righteousness. So yes, they should see me spending time in prayer. They should see me reading the Bible. I should be reading the Bible with them, but I should be leading them in the right path. And the reason why you need wisdom from above is that many times you think something is okay, but you forget your children can't decipher the difference. You see, if all of us are in a room where it happens, no, in a room, and I see a brother come out, pop open a can of beer. He drinks it. Now all of a sudden, there's 4 or 5 of us in the room. He puts it down. It won't bother me. Because I'm at a place now where I understand there's a difference to a group of us going out and having a glass of wine. But if a child sees you popping open a can of beer, he or she doesn't know there's a difference between a believer and a non-believer. Because his friend Johnny might have a father who drinks beer, and after he drinks, he gets so drunk, he beats his mother. You see, so wisdom says, while that child is growing up, I can't have these things in my house. I can't use these things. Wisdom from above lets you know that you've got to nurture, you've got to grow them. Now, when they get to be big men and women, the relationship changes. And they can exercise free will. But while they're young, you have to impact their will. God himself doesn't take away our free will from us. But he shows us through his love and through his actions that we'll be yards ahead if we submit our will to him rather than going it on our own. And so I've got to lead by example. Secondly, I've got to know my responsibility. Fathers, you're the only father that your child will ever have, and that's not something to be taken lightly. And every time someone mentions the word father, whether it's a negative or positive influence, that image will pop up in their head till they die. And a lot of people have trouble relating to God as a father because of their experience with earthly fathers. When I fathered my children, I became responsible. It was my job to take care of them. My job to provide a place to live. My job to provide clothes on their backs, food in their stomachs, and health care when they get sick. That is your responsibility. I remember my son talking about influence. I have this thing that nothing I put on can be wrinkled. I said, this church will be presented without spot or wrinkle. I start from down here. And my kids used to laugh because I would take a shirt that just came back from the cleaner, but before I put it on, I had to take it and iron it. I never thought anything about it. Till one day, my wife says, come here. And we're going out, and his siblings are all dressed. And my son, he's holding everyone up because he has to iron his shirt and his slacks and everything else. And my wife looked at me, she says, if you ever doubted he was your son, now you know he is. Because he's the same way. Now, I never told him that. I never thought it was something, but he saw it. And it dawned on me, influence behind the scenes that people have in their children. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility for their spiritual upbringing. God expects us to raise our children in such a way that when the seed of the gospel hits them, the soil is already prepared. That's all he wants us to do. Prepare the soil. Now they'll have free will and they have to respond and all those things. But you know, it's easier to respond when the soil has been prepared. So it's important that we understand our responsibility. And as men, sometimes we have responsibility trust upon you suddenly. That's why you need the book. I'm reminded the story of four men. On Father's Day, they're in the maternity ward because their wives are expecting. And as they're there talking and conversing, a nurse comes out to the first man and she says, "Sir, happy Father's Day. You're the father of twins." So he says, "Oh," he says, "boy, that's strange. I'm a manager for the Minnesota Twins." A little while later, another nurse comes out, speaks to the second person and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." He says, "Wow." He says to the other guy, "This is really weird because I work for the 3M company." A little while later, another nurse comes out and she sees a gentleman and says to the third man, "You're the father of quadruplets." And he says, "Hey, fellas, talk about weird. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." It is at that time that the fourth guy started banging his head against the wall. And it was also at that time that the nurses were changing their shift. So he turns around and a group of nurses are coming out and some are coming in and they're walking towards him and he just falls out. So as they find him and wake him up, they said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "You don't understand. I'm a manager of a 7-Eleven. You see, sometimes you have responsibility thrust upon you that you're not expecting. And Solomon learned his responsibility, guess who? From his father. Look at verse 4. Verse 3 for connection. "When I was my father's son," his father is David, "tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.'" Now, if I said to you, put together a long list of faults that David had and Solomon had, I'm sure you can put it together. But their core desire was to follow God. Is that your heart's desire? Is it your desire to follow God regardless of where situations may take you? We have negative situations in our lives, and you know what? They can stop us from following God. That's why the family of God is so necessary, to gather around us, to pray with us, because sometimes you just don't feel like going on, do you? Sometimes you just don't think you can bear it. Sometimes, like Asaph, you say, "God is good to Israel, but as for me, my feet are slipping on the banana peels of life." That's why God always says, "Remember, remember, remember the other experiences I took you through and brought you through. Remember." Is anything too hard for God? I can't hear you. One of the greatest problems of our society is men who deny their responsibility for their children's upbringing. And what we end up with is moral chaos on every side. Now, I can't do a lot about what other men do. I can only do with what I have to do. And you can't do a lot about anyone else. You can only do what God tells you to do. But you still have to choose to take that responsibility. And the question is, are we going to follow Yahweh or are we going to follow the God of this world? Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15? He said, "If you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve." He says, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the god of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So fathers, who are your family? Who's your family? Who will they serve? Who are they going to serve? You know, although I'm talking to fathers, it really requires mothers as well. As I said, the two shall be one, and you're to help me. So guess what's the most important thing of all? You've got to communicate your values. Okay? He says, I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. If you live a life guided by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble, etc. And if you continue on this chapter, you will see Solomon had some very specific instructions. Listen, what values do we communicate to our children? I remember when you read Moses' epitaph in Hebrews, they said he chose to serve, okay, with the people of God, or to be with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt for a season. Do you know why? He had values communicated to him. You see, when his mother was being paid by Pharaoh, who had told them to throw their kids into the ocean, while she was there, even though he was in Egypt's palace, he was saying, you know, you're a Hebrew. You know, we serve Yahweh. You know, and she would instill those values in him. Here's an important thing. If you don't communicate your values to your children and they don't establish those values early, guess what? The world will give them values. Show me anyone who doesn't have their own values, and I'll show you someone that the world will stamp their values on. So, what are the values that you teach your children? Money is more important than God. Secular work is more important than service for God. What are the values? You know, in the long run, the only values that will last are godly values. Do you know that? And it's amazing how the world sees it and we don't. That's what Constantine did. He looked, he saw the values of the Christians, and he says, boy, he says, I need this in the people because it's going to be easier for me to rule them. And so from his marriage, we have the universal church and all these other things. He came up with the robes for the priests. That's the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And all this separation of the priesthood and all these other things, values contrary to that which is in the Bible. So what are the values that we're putting in our children? What are the values that we're teaching Jordan and Sarah and Samantha and others? Well, they got some good values. You see, you can't be where these girls are without the values. It started with your grandparents. Foxes, the Rouses, all the way down. And it molded you and it shaped you. so that even when the devil threw hurdles at you, you just jumped over them. Don't ever forget God's values. You know, when you get your first voter registration card at 18, you already have opinions. You just don't start then. So what we do is we influence you. So when you get to adulthood, I'm giving away the secret. When you get to adulthood, we've helped you shape and form so that you make choices that are centered on God. You see, there's a lot of peer pressure, media pressure, all these pressures today that a lot of us didn't have. See, I'm young, so I had them. I don't know about Brother Trevor. No, but there's all these things that we didn't have. I admit that. And there's more being bombarded you. That's why it's so important today for us to instill values. See, when I was growing up, someone called you. If your parents didn't want you to speak to them, they had the phone on the other end, sometimes listening. They would just hit the receiver and that's it. Now the kids have their own phone. Many times we don't know who's calling them. And then they don't call, they text. And they text in a language unknown to us. They text in tongues. C, the letter U, A, and the number 4. See you at 4. Just alphabets. It's almost like the writing on the wall, no vowels. Meeny, meeny, teka, you foster. So we have to influence them. They have Instagram, TikTok, all these things. Peer pressure. And then they have the alphabets. LGBTQ, TCL. We didn't have all that. We had MNF, male or female. What are the values? So commitment is necessary as I wind down. Why is commitment necessary? 1 Kings 15:26 says this about Jeroboam, the first king of Israel after the two nations divided. It says he did what was evil in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his father, continuing the sins of idolatry, etc., etc. But there's a flip side in 1 Kings 22:43. Jehoshaphat said he was a good king following the examples of his father Asa, and he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Now, of course, you could have a bad father and a good kid and all of that, but I guarantee you, when you teach them biblical values, your percentage goes through the roof of raising those young children into adults that would respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and then live in service for the Lord. So fathers, we not only have to talk it, we have to live it. Fathers, we are responsible to lead because God has dictated that from the beginning. Fathers, we must communicate biblical values to our children. For we live in a world that has rejected Christ, rejected the Word of God, and as a result, there's chaos, there's confusion. People don't know if they're up, down, sideways. They don't know what they are or who they are. They don't even know their own identity. Their identity is now in doing. So if I don't like or subscribe to YouTube that you put out there, no one likes me. That's their identity. If I don't like something you put on Facebook, you feel you have no friends. That's their identity. Oh, but when you sit someone down and say, why are you upset? The Word of God says you're made in the image of God. That's your identity. Makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? So men and women, what will we leave the next generation? What are we communicating to the next generation? Do they just see us as people who are one way when we sit down here, but another way when we walk out the doors? Do they see us gossiping, talking, and yet in here saying other things? I don't want you to say you love the Lord. I want you to do that you love the Lord. And when our children see that, oh, then we've prepared them for adulthood according to God's word. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we would reflect on this day that the world has set aside to honor fathers, we recognize that fathers was your idea. You created the first man, and then you created and put in place a process for families to start and to grow. And we confess, oh God, we have gotten away from the model that you instituted. We've gotten away from the responsibilities and the roles that you have entrusted to fathers and mothers. And because we did that, oh God, even in the first family, there was chaos among their children, for one ended up killing the other. But Heavenly Father, we thank you that you always invite us to come home. And like the prodigal son, you stand not only with outstretched arms, but you run to meet us. So on this Father's Day, enable us as fathers to rededicate and recommit ourselves to be examples of godly fatherhood to our children. And we know that if we do that, this world that needs so much healing and has so much brokenness will truly be a better place. So enable us to live our lives in accordance with your word, that in all things, you will get the preeminence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Before I sit down, I want to say one thing. When I came in, there's a beautiful young lady who handed me a box. I looked on the box, it says 100% silk handmade. I said, wow. I said, this is top of the line. Now, where did she get that value from? I don't believe anyone told Sister Latifah or her family to go out and do this. And she did the same for mothers with roses. But she did. And Sister Latifah, thank you. You see, I'm a fighter, but I'm broken whenever it comes to the Lord's work. Because when I was her age, I wasn't thinking of serving God that way. But I thank God that the years that the locusts devoured, he allowed them because he wanted me to use them in his service. Sister Neverson told me that. She said, Archie, have you ever thought to think that the Lord allow you in that path so you can relate better to the young people the way you do today? I said, no, I never thought about that. But Sister Latifah, I know where you got those values from. You're sitting over there. Your father and your mother. And we thank God for that. And there are lots of you here that can always, Sister Lanessa, Sister Agard, and others, thank God for godly parents that instill value, godly values in their children, so that when they grow up, they continue the work that must continue if Christ be not come. In our generation, the next generation will be continuing the work of his honor and his glory. God bless you all. Patrick, I see that. You got those values too.